Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is a beautiful day, the Sunday after Easter. It is wonderful to be here and to be sharing the day with all of you. I have a wonderful story. It's pretty familiar, the story of Thomas and how Jesus appeared to the disciples, and then Thomas either refused to believe or wasn't able to believe, depending on how you take that. And so I'll share with you some thoughts about doubts and faith and kind of where we are in life, somewhere in between complete acceptance, complete belief, and doubts. Doubts kind of always sneak in a little bit. There are a bunch of announcements on the back of the bulletin. UMW Bible studies. We got one more week of Bible study to complete the resurrection and the resurrection appearance to Peter in the Gospel of John. Next Sunday will be the memorial service for my mom also. That will be right after church. We'll do the benediction and we'll let people who can't stay head home, and then we'll continue on with that. Community dinners coming up, and also the men's group yard sale and the women's group bake sale that's going together, so that should be a great event. We are collecting for both sales, and there is an application. There are applications available for our scholarship, and there's information and qualifications about that. So you can see Sandy Matthews if you have questions, or you can talk to me. I can help you out with that a little bit. All righty. I believe those are our announcements. We have two prayer shawls that we're going to dedicate, and it's wonderful to have you. Thank you for doing that. And we're ready to begin. So let's hear now our prelude, and then we'll move to our call to worship. Shall we stand and join together in the call to worship? Alleluia! Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. We have not seen the risen Christ, but we see him in lives transformed by grace. We have not seen Jesus face to face, but we have seen him in the faces of everyone whose love encourages us. We have not touched the wounds from the cross, but we have been called to bring healing to a broken world. Our opening hymn is number 145, Morning Has Broken. Be seated, and we can join together in our opening prayer. Holy God, on this Eastertide morning, we come to you, singing alleluias, celebrating new life, not completely believing it all. We are going along with it just the same. We are your Easter people, Lord, doubters, saints, sinners, questioners, who skip, run, and stumble on the journey. Open our eyes and our eyes to your call, to be your love wherever we are. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our first lesson comes from the Gospel of John, Chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. It was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of his nails, of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of my nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. It's now a time for our young folks. If our young folks want to come forward or stay where, well, okay. You this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. So how are you guys doing today? I just realized something when having just read the gospel lesson and then sung Jesus Loves Me with our little American Sign Language words. It's this. Why do we use this as Jesus? We read it in our gospel lesson today. What happened to Jesus' hands? Why would we point to the palms? Why would we point to the palms? If Jesus was on the cross like this, didn't Thomas say that he wanted to see and he wanted to put his hands or his fingers in the holes of his hands? That's why we call him Jesus, because he had holes, you know, because of the cross, he had holes in his hands, and we mark that as Jesus. And then we do this also, which is Jesus' book, right? The Bible tells me so. That's kind of cool, isn't it? I wanted to talk to you today also about doubts. Do you doubt things sometimes? Do you doubt things that people say, maybe your friends, when they tell you a big old story? Do you sometimes wonder if it's true or not? Yeah. Is that a good thing to have doubts sometimes? It's probably a good thing to doubt strangers, right? And to know and to be a little careful or a little leery about them. To doubt that maybe they may not be as good to you or as safe as you would like them to be. Or, you know, just lots of things that we doubt. I think it's important to have doubts. One of the things that I think of where we doubt that not all phone calls are helpful, are they? A lot of times telemarketers and other people call or insurance companies. We received a letter to my mom saying that her car was out of warranty. She hasn't had a car for 5-6 years and she's not around anymore. We received a letter to addressed to my dad saying it was a magazine subscription saying we want you back. I said, yeah, me too, but so sometimes it's good to doubt. Sometimes it's good not to be completely trusting. Other times when it comes to faith, we are good at believing, but sometimes we still have doubts. And you want to know what? I still have doubts, and I truly believe that it's okay for us to believe a whole lot, but not completely, or to worry about something, or to have doubts. That's a human thing, and it's And it's okay. We work on that. We want to believe Jesus completely, but we don't always. And sometimes we have trouble following what the Bible says or what we believe God is saying to us. But we work on that, right? And we work on our faith. I love the phrase that's in the Gospel of John, that people come to faith. It's not like a light switch that switches on or off. It's a process that we go through. And I think that's really true. And we grow in our faith each and every day. That's really, really important. Okay? So thanks for coming. And we'll talk more about doubts and faith and the place where we live, somewhere between doubt and faith. Okay? Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And now we'll move to our anthem. As the choir is going back to their seats, we will sing our next hymn, number 420, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Let's stand and sing together. Love and do what thou wouldst do. be seated. And a much less familiar passage for our second lesson today. It is in the lectionary, the three-year guide for scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested with fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that a cool thought? We are receiving the outcome of our faith, the salvation of our souls. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me now as I begin the message? Dear Lord, we pray that your message would be spoken here. We ask you to guide us, to give us faith, and help us with our doubts and with our faith. Speak to us your truth, touch our hearts, and give us the confidence to follow you as you would have us. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of you have played cards before? Yeah, I like to play cards too. It's fun. Have any of you ever played the game Balderdash? It often has a little bit different name than Balderdash. In this game, you go through and one person at a time says, I have two aces, and they put two aces down. Then the next person says, I have one, two, three, four, twos. I have this number of threes. Sometimes the game is also called I Doubt It, and that's what you say. You either say, if you don't believe them, if you have more of that card in your hand than they're saying are there, or if you have two and they say they have three and they're putting three cards down, you can say Balderdash or I Doubt It, or the other name for this card game, which is a little bit stronger, yes. Anyway, yes. I Doubt It, or maybe even Balderdash is another name for it. You see, doubt's a funny thing, and I think that game is about doubting or even knowing that someone is lying. Doubt, well, actually is 8 points in the game of Scrabble, unless you can find a double letter or a double or triple word space, and then it gets good, but only 8 letters. In some circumstances, doubt is a very good thing. We have doubt built into us to keep us safe. There are times when we should doubt what's going on, and we should maybe even have a twinge of fear about what's going on. And that's built into us for our safety. Without that sense of doubt, we could be tricked or even manipulated. But with too much doubt, we wouldn't be able to believe anything. So today, both scripture lessons talk about the place where we really live, if we're honest, somewhere between doubt and faith. We know the story of Thomas, how Jesus appeared to the disciples and shows them his hands and his feet and breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And then we read that Thomas wasn't there. Did he oversleep or miss church? Did he just blow off the meeting? Possible. Maybe, to play devil's advocate, and I like to do that, maybe he was the one that had to stand outside the door and guard it. Could you imagine if that was your job, and then Jesus comes and appears, and you're standing outside the door trying to keep everybody else safe? Sometimes I wonder if Thomas's "I'm not going to believe," or whether he says "I'm not going to believe" versus "I cannot believe." I wonder if some of his statement is a statement of, well, frustration or even denial. Whatever the reason, he missed out and didn't see Jesus. Thomas says, "Unless I see the nail marks and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." It almost sounds like a conscious decision, doesn't it? Maybe it's even a refusal to believe. "Well, I had to stand outside when Jesus came. I'm not going to believe it happened until I see it. I want to see it myself." That's fair in some sense, isn't it? Either way, Jesus does appear to Thomas. At their meeting a week later, Jesus again walks through locked doors and appears and breathes on them. Jesus tells Thomas, "Stop doubting and believe." He also says, "Because you've seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We don't know what all of what Thomas was thinking, but that's why I've been able to preach on this passage for 33 years, because we don't know when we can make some stuff up or surmise a little bit, or maybe even push a little bit more into the story than is actually written in the Bible. The actual facts are that Thomas wasn't there the first time, and that when he was there the second time, he did believe. So that's pretty cool. And I love the ending in the chapter here. "These signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you have life in his name." It's really the reason John wrote his gospel. By believing, you may have life in his name. John wanted everyone who reads the gospel to come to faith. Peter says something very similar in his letter. Look at this. This is verses 8 and 9. "Though you have not seen him, you love him and believe in him and are filled with joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." These words are written by either John or both John and Peter, saying that the most important thing is to believe in Jesus. Peter begins by saying that Jesus was given new birth into a living hope. He later equates this hope with faith in Jesus. Do you think Peter was thinking about Jesus' words in that upper room when he wrote this? Do you think he and John talked about this after being in the upper room. Imagine being able to do the same thing. Oh, that's what we're doing now, isn't it? Talking about our faith with fellow believers. I believe that it's still very important for us to have faith and to believe in Jesus Christ, even though we live in a world filled with doubt. Like I said earlier, it's good to have some healthy doubt. When the phone rings and the caller ID says unknown caller, we know better than to reveal our Social Security number or our bank account number, right? Where we see commercials for medicine, we need to know that whether or not we really need them. Just because you see a commercial about diabetes medicine or something else doesn't mean that you need it, right? But they still advertise. And I love the side effects, the long list of side effects. I think I'd rather have a stuffy nose sometimes. It takes time and experience to know when to doubt and when to believe. And we still get caught up in that sometimes. We still make the wrong decisions sometimes. I certainly have. When life throws its worst at us and we doubt we can even move on from there, the one thing that we do not have to doubt is that Jesus is real, that he lived and he died and he rose again for the salvation of our souls. He walks with us and talks with us. He sent his Holy Spirit to lead, strengthen, and guide us through this journey called life. And that's a wonderful thing. And we are never alone. Amen. Let's move to celebrations, joys, and concerns. Are there celebrations that folks would like to share? Good things that are happening, things that we're happy about? We had a big old group of folks with us yesterday and last night. We were able to celebrate Bobby and Katie's birthdays, 35 and 30. Young milestones is, I guess, what we can call them. So we had a great time, and it was wonderful to see Katie and her friends and Bobby and the little man. So we had a good time. Others today. Prayer requests, yes. For your son? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's hard. Continued prayers for your son, for sure. Any others today? I have an update on Vicky. Joe called me yesterday, and Vicky has turned the corner on pain, he said. And she's able to, the medicine is working better and the pain is subsiding, which makes life a lot easier in a whole lot of ways. She's sleeping better. The plan is for her to be transferred from Ruby in Morgantown down here to Jane Lou Crestview. Yeah, okay. So she'll be there Monday, and they'll have a much shorter trip to travel. And Joe says, do you know how many construction sites there are between here and Morgantown? He says, I've counted them. There are 9 in each direction. Those bridges. Anyway, they're doing good, and that's a major step in the right direction for Vicky. Any others today? Yes, Liz.
Okay.
She had open heart surgery. She had valve replacement surgery in her 30s. Wow.
And she's still struggling.
Okay. And prayers for Robin. The young lady again, her first name?
Sarah.
Okay, prayers for Sarah. Any others? All righty. Nettie?
My high school.
Oh my goodness.
Friends, memorial services today.
Yes.
So prayers for the family and all of us that have
you. Yeah. Prayers for the Kimball family, Lori Kimball, and I don't remember her married name. Probably should have remembered that one, huh? Prayers for Lori Kimball Smith. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can be here today. We thank you for your love and your faith and your presence with us. We thank you that you guide us and lead us and strengthen our faith, even in the midst of doubt. Bless us and be with us. Bless this church, O Lord, for the ministries that we continue to do, and the new ministries that we seek to do. Bless us and lead us forward, Lord. Be with each and every one of the folks on our prayer list. You know their situation. You know their you know all about them and their needs. Bless them and watch over them, Lord. We pray for healing and strength, for guidance and perseverance and healing. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of this ministry. Thank you that we can be your people and that we can pray to you and pray to you the prayer that even Jesus taught us. We come and we do that now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. How blessed are we to be able to speak to the Lord, to be able to have a church and come and worship. What a wonderful opportunity it is to give back. And the ushers are in place, so we will receive our offering now. Shall we pray our offering prayer? Compassionate and faithful God, you meet us behind locked doors, and in the doubts we dare not speak aloud. Like Thomas, we long to see, to touch, to know, and yet by your grace, You call us blessed for believing without seeing. Accept now these gifts we bring, signs of faith, acts of our trust. Use them to reach others still searching for hope, healing, and connection. We pray this in Christ, who breathes peace upon us. Amen. And Lord, bless these beautiful prayer shawls. Bless whoever will receive them. Bless the hands that prepared them. Help them to be a visual sign of your grace and your healing presence. Amen. Our closing hymn now is number 383. That is, This is a Day of New Beginnings.
This is the day.
As we go from this place today, let us go forth believing and trusting and walking toward Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.